Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Just a quick disclaimer. We are not medical doctors, therapists, or dietitians, so please check with an allied health professional before making any changes.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Super Gym Friends. I'm Joel.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Zach.
And this is about to call myself Joel. Joel, I'm also Joel.
And I'm Joel too.
And this week in Fit,
we're going to be talking about basics of fitness goals part 2, building muscle and gaining strength.
All right, how do I do this?
Gonna be buff, boys.
How do we do it?
Boys. Lift shit, yeah?
Lift shit.
Lift heavy thing from over there and put it over there.
Pick big thing up, put big thing down.
Yeah, you're adding extra steps. He's right. Just pick it up, put it down. Oh, you're moving it.
Oh, I went for a walk for some reason.
Yeah, you're
I'm an idiot.
Don't need that. We
it's
just like need to pick up maniac. And put
it's
back
why
down.
He's the trainer and I'm the dumb boy.
I think the core of all of my like training cues that I give is just pick it up and put it down. Yeah. Nothing, everything else doesn't. It nothing matters. It's
I
all
feel
just
like
pick
it's
up.
A lot more complicated. Than that.
I don't.
No, as
that is very
it up
a
wrong,
joke.
A lot. Oh, I see. Yes, you're agreeing. Sorry.
Definitely. There's a lot more to
there's
it.
There's wrong
than
ways
that.
To pick it up and put it down.
Yeah, oh so, yes, there is
legs straight as I can
so
be.
So many roots. Oh,
it's all done.
All back.
Curved.
One like a hoink motion. So yeah, you want all the power coming straight from the lower back.
When you're knees, lowering the weight, put
never
it in
bend.
Your teeth.
Yes.
Nobody listen to this.
Like drag it. Drag
this
it like
podcast is
fucking,
canceled.
Drag it like
misinformation.
A fucking dog
stop it.
You are. Put it in your teeth and
put the lat thing around your neck and then pull it like that emotion so it's going against your neck.
Yeah, you need that kind of. You want like a pulley system where your neck is a bit of a pulley.
Yeah,
this
any the
of this,
shame I feel.
I feel we're not
the shame. feel.
My children, you have not been listening to my teachings.
This is what betrayal feels like. Oh, I see.
Betrayed.
How dare you? Uh-huh.
Okay, so gaining muscle. Or
and
I
gaining
like
strength.
Mus.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
no.
maybe we don't.
How bad does that feel? Zaman, I want to gain mus.
No, Zam.
That feels very bad.
It's like a weird intersection of like childish and kind of almost just like weirdly serial killery.
It is, isn't it?
Like if an 8-year-old could be a serial killer.
The mus killer.
The mus. I need to grow my mus and be strong.
Oh God, please never say that.
I'm sorry, Zach. This is the episode from here on out. Do I build mus?
Oh, far out. Okay. So going back to what we said last week. Mm-hmm. We have a calorie, which is our usable form of energy, which we get into our body by consuming food. We have our maintenance calories, which is essentially the amount of energy or food, because our energy comes from our food, that we need to consume to stay the exact same as we are now. So we will not lose any weight, we will not gain any weight, and it'll just be enough energy to have our organs do its daily functions, plus walk around and do all the fun and wacky things we like to do in our day.
We should genuinely have a glossary of terms.
Like, maybe.
Not even joking.
Maybe in the show. No, Adam, this is your job now.
Why can't the man who knows the terms do it?
It can be your job.
Is that my official title? The man who knows
what things? What if just at the end of the episode we went over the important terms?
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that actually...
That might be useful. It might be beneficial for everybody. Yeah. Okay, cool.
That would not be the worst idea as well.
Yep.
So, as we talked about in the last episode, when we go below, that is how we lose our weight.
Caloric deficit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Spot on. However, the process of gaining muscle and strength requires the opposite. We need to have an overabundance of energy, aka an overabundance of calories, in order for that to fuel the adaptations that we want to be creating in our body. So essentially, we need to be going into a caloric surplus above our maintenance calories.
We can eat more.
Indeed.
Huh.
I was about to say that's like what The Rock does, where if you've ever seen like what The Rock eats in a day,
it's
crazy. But that's actually not even necessarily. Presumably, maybe The Rock is trying to gain muscle mass, but he's not.
Presumably, his maintenance calories is just insanely high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes a lot to maintain what The Rock's cooking.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that.
That's a win. This is the other thing with the two. You're wrong.
That's it.
Hey, we should get into comedy.
We should. Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't quit your day job yet.
Okay, so. Eat more.
Eat more. Exactly. And so similar to when we want to lose weight, we don't want to go in an aggressive approach. When we're eating up, when we're in our surplus, we likewise do not want to go into an aggressive surplus. When we eat too much, there is only a certain amount of muscle mass that our body can generate, can grow at one time. Exactly. Yeah. So we want to be getting as close to the perfect amount or the perfect surplus where all of our energy is just being converted to muscle and none of it's being converted to fat. That's almost an impossible thing to do, though.
Okay.
We're going to, when we're doing our hypertrophy phases, we're going to accept a little bit of fat gain, but it's okay because when we do things smart and we do not go too aggressive in our bulk, as we call it, then we will be majority of the time gaining that good life-giving substance that is muscle.
Okay. Right. So say someone like me, I was like, I would like to, like the going, building on like last episode where it's like, all right, fat loss. So, okay, I've entered a deficit, let's say. This hypothetical fantasy realm. I've on a deficit.
This hypothetical fantasy world where I could be in a caloric deficit.
Exactly. It's like, ooh, let's see. Yes. So
it's not happening, but let's imagine it
is happening. So I'm on that caloric deficit. I'm losing. So I've gone from, say, was it 2,200 calories?
Like, let's say like our maintenance is at 2,500 calories.
Yep. Okay, so
nice round numbers.
Maintenance is at 2,500. So now I'm saying I've gone down to 2,250. And now I say like we're doing it well. I'm now down to 2,000, and I've lost a lot of.
We've been doing this over time, so it's not 2 weeks. It's been a few weeks. We've been pulling it down. We've lost a little bit of fat, like a nice bit of fat, and we're feeling pretty good.
Okay, and then so we hit a point. I'm not quite sure what that point is, but we've hit a point. And now I can eat more?
Essentially, it just comes down to what your goals are. Like, you could right now come to me and be like, Zach, I don't give a shit about six packs.
Done.
I just want muscle. I want to be big and I want to be strong. And I go, cool. It doesn't, as long as we do not care about having a little bit of fat on us or gaining a little bit of fat over time, let's go into our surplus.
Okay.
So it's like an arbitrary point where it's whenever you feel like you want to start gaining muscle, that's when you should start gaining muscle.
Okay. So for example, this other fantasy realm. So I've lost like on this caloric deficit. Now I'm like, okay, I'm pretty happy with this. Now
say we get down to like our 12 to 15% body fat, but we're a little bit like thinner now. Yeah. I'm like, we just want to start to develop that like muscular foundation as well.
And so then I'm like, I want to build up some mus.
Yep.
So Jan can.
I'm going to start bleeping it.
Please.
Oh, can you, nice.
Can you bleep it in real life though so that I don't have to hear it?
So I want
to
start building
I don't
up.
Think my powers are that strong.
God damn it, Adam.
Okay, so I want to start building that up. And so then I'm like, okay, cool. And now we sort of start gaining more, eating more, and so then I'm mm-hmm. sort of working out more. So what's the benefit of doing it that as opposed to then just now being like, well, Zach, eating more sounds great, so let's just build muscle from now. So what's the difference is what I'm trying to work out in my head.
It really comes down to your goals. Okay. There is no like – the difference is like how you're eating obviously, but it's just like what do you want from your body? Like what do you want to achieve? If most people it's like I have a very – although they might have trouble actually like expressing it, they have a vision of themselves which they would like to achieve. And a lot of the time that does require that fat loss to occur. At some point, it doesn't have to be now. So what we're doing right now is we're essentially going through like a bit of a maintenance, like with your training, we're going through a bit of a maintenance phase calorie-wise because we're not going to change it too much. I don't want to throw in too many new variables for you guys. Mm-hmm. And we're just focusing on our training, which will, because both of you guys in an objective way, we're sitting a little bit like above that 15.
Sure am.
There's no shame. And there's like. And
wait, 15? Oh, percent.
15%. Yes, yeah. Yes. So essentially, our body already has a larger store of energy because, like, fat is also a store of energy.
Mm. Yeah.
So we're sitting at that little bit higher. So we can go through, if we do go through like a weight loss phase as well, it doesn't have to be as aggressive. But because we have all of that energy stored, it can also be converted into muscle mass as well when you start from that higher body fat percentage.
Okay.
When you're starting around that middle or like close to it, it becomes a little bit more difficult because your body doesn't have as much to go back on. Mm-hmm. But essentially, what can be created is what we call body recomposition, which is at the same time losing muscle. Sorry, other way around. Losing fat and gaining muscle.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Which is a very difficult thing for most people to do. Mm. However, when we, in circumstances of a high body fat percentage starting off from there, it can be done. But we're not worrying about that too much right now. Mm-hmm. What we are mainly focusing on for you guys right now is technique and a little bit of hypertrophy. Because what I believe for most people who haven't been going to the gym consistently, coming back new, never been for the first time, is most people will not have a very big muscular foundation.
Okay.
And so we want to build that up first so that when we cut back, when we go into our deficit, it's easier to do because when we have more muscle, when we're doing activities, whether it's a run, whether it's weightlifting in the gym, there is more tissue being activated. And when there's more tissue being activated, there's more energy required for that activation, which means you're going to be burning more. So it's easier to do that weight loss, as well as when we lose that fat, there's more that's going to be showing through. You don't just want to lose fat and be like, oh, cool, look at my bones. It's like, no, cool, look at this definition, and that definition or
Whoa, hang on. No. Let's not go too far away from this bones.
Or that definition, as Adam would like to say, tone.
I don't like to say tone. What?
Well, I certainly don't like to say tone.
I love no saying tone.
I'm just picking you out.
I want to see my bones.
Oh, God. Tone and muscle.
I want to know where my skeleton is at all times so it can't sneak up on me.
I don't want it to escape.
I get it, dude.
I'm scared.
Okay. So is this a kind of like...
So that tone or that muscle definition, we need to have that foundation of muscle for that to show up. If we've never done hypertrophy training before.
So what is hypertrophy?
Hypertrophy is, sorry, I probably should have said that already.
Hang on, wait. You say it.
Hypertrophy.
Hypertrophy.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
We saying it right? Hypertrophy.
I had an old teacher say hypertrophy and it just gave me a
hell yeah
headache every time I heard it.
Okay. I've seen it written down. Yeah, no, okay.
Hypertrophy, that.
I reckon I would have gotten it.
Even if that's said wrong, it's said right for this podcast. Okay. We are not straying away from it. I will not hear hypertrophy.
Hypertrophy.
Good.
Hypertrophy.
Hypertrophy is the technical term for muscle growth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're in the period of trying to grow our muscles.
Yep. So we're doing a little bit of like a kind of creating the neurological connections to our muscles. Mm-hmm. So bringing our, like, essentially, like, bringing our mind's awareness back to our body, what muscles are working, and then increasing our ability to overload those muscles through, this is a big word, improving our motor neuron inhibitory reflex.
Motor neuron inhibitory reflex.
Exactly.
Okay, well done, Adam.
What that essentially is this is a little bit outside of hypertrophy, but it's still a little bit connected, is in our muscles, we have a motor neuron, and that is the attachment of the nerve to the muscle tissue. So that's how our brain signals the muscle to do its fun little actions, which we love to do in the gym.
Fun little actions.
Maybe not for you guys, but for me, they're fun little actions.
No, it's just funny to call them that. It's like fun little actions.
It's fun little actions. You go and you pick up a thing, or you move your leg like a big idiot.
Do
you
know those fun little actions with your legs.
Okay, all right.
With your...
Nee, it's fun to say.
I hate it, but
it's
it is
so fun to say.
I got bleeped, letting you know.
Don't censor us, Adam.
And so the motor neuron inhibitory reflex is something that almost everybody who's starting new at the gym or hasn't been training for a while will kind of butt heads with. And so it's essentially our body, or our mind more specifically, does not trust us to do things, to not go overboard when we're exercising. So it's essentially like, man, if I let you go wild, you are going to overdo it, get yourself injured, tear the tissue, hurt your back, whatever else. So I'm going to put an artificial limit on the amount of exertion that your muscles can perform or create.
Okay. Because I think I remember, Adam, you saying like a story about a guy who was trying to do like X many chin-ups, and it's something to do with...
When your body's telling you you're... When your body is like, that's it, we're done. You have nothing left in the tank. Mm-hmm. That is your body being like, we might need more for predators. It's your body actually being like, you've got more, but stop.
Yeah, not quite that. It's similar, but it's a little bit separate from like this, like the specific motor neuron inhibitory reflex. That's more to do with just like your body's trust in your ability to like reach that upper limit of fatigue.
So you're saying my body doesn't trust me?
Pretty much. Piece of
shit. Your body, exactly.
Your body's like, what the calm fuck? The fuck down.
You're I've been piloting this for over 30 years.
Are
I
you trying to kill us?
Maybe.
do you want to fucking, what if a fucking dinosaur comes, dude? You're going to have nothing left.
What the fuck? Why are you talking about dinosaurs? What we went around the same time. Big Bird, I get you.
Yeah, that's right.
I understand Big Bird.
Yeah, that's right. Big Bird or
where's
a gorilla.
Where's this Big Bird?
What if a gorilla comes in with a gun?
Gorilla!
Okay, now I'm scared of the
gun-toting
gorilla.
You should be tired.
And,
stop this.
Okay, I'll lie
down. We don't need to do this.
I'll lie down.
You maniac. Eat some noodles.
Yes, sir.
Eat up. Good. Yes, so the gorilla can't have them. Now we need to find a mate.
But these noodles are pretty... I'm still scared of the Big Bird gorilla
thing. Yeah, you should be.
I am!
We need to make babies!
And that's the motor neuron inhibitory reflex. Okay. Brilliant summary, guys.
Okay. I think I understand.
I love it.
I think I understand where it's coming from. Okay. Fearful of big birds and gorillas, love noodle and mate.
Anything that prevents you from making babies is bad. Big gorilla that tears your arms off will stop you.
Big gorilla.
Okay. Okay, big gorilla, I'll stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. That sounds... All right, I think I get it. I get it. I get it.
It's not that, by the way.
Oh, okay. Don't get it.
No, it's not. It's definitely not that.
Are you saying that what we just did was not an accurate role play between Zammit's motor neurons and himself?
I'm saying it's unlikely.
Huh.
What? Which
the science is out.
But I am afraid of this big bird we keep
talking about. That's right, big bird.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, it's no good.
It might get us.
See, that does come into play because when we're in the gym, we're underneath the roof. So the big bird fear does actually, it's taken away.
So
the gorilla fear is still very real.
Yeah. Okay, exercise without...
Have you ever seen that thing where people are like, so gorillas are just like that, they don't work out, so we've never seen a gorilla at full strength.
100%. No, that is like very real. Gorillas are not doing like a progressive overload. They're not training properly. They're not even eating properly. They are huge.
You're like, gorillas aren't training properly.
They're not. Properly. Those little bitch ass gorillas. I want those. I want them to get big.
You're like critiquing gorillas.
Like a gorilla does, like pulls himself up. Yeah, poor form.
No,
yeah.
That's right, Adam. Gorilla. This is my official call out to all gorillas. You guys aren't training properly. I'm calling you out. I bet you couldn't stand my programming.
Yelling at gorillas in the zoo. Neutral spine!
Neutral spine!
Neutral spine!
Oh, you could be pushing it harder than that.
Give me another two.
Yelling at the gorillas. Do you want the big bird to kill you? Are you afraid for the big bird? All right, now do 10 more. 10 more.
That's
you know, like gorillas, you maniacs. Like, you get your arms torn off.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but anyway. Like legitimately, imagine a gorilla who has a proper training program and nutrition. They're huge already.
Yeah.
With those sort of things, the potential for, oh my God.
That's how we get a Kong.
That's how we get just Kong. Like a yeah. sphere oh, you don't mean of the muscle.
Toy. No, I mean the king.
All right.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah. So that's not what our
definitely not. No.
Things do.
No, well, so
I think the jury's out.
Okay. So muscle neuron inhibitor?
Motor neuron. Very
motor
close.
Neuron inhibitor. Okay.
Inhibitory reflex.
Oh, there's so many words.
It is.
Okay, and that's basically being like, move the muscle this way.
No, it's the body or it's the brain going, stop a certain amount before your actual limit of what your muscles can do.
Okay.
So one thing is we have like RPE, which is a term for rate of perceived exertion, which is a self-ascribed number to
like
do
a
with
pain
the
scale.
Almost. Yeah, a pain scale, basically. Yeah, but it's like how much effort did you put into that particular set? Mm-hmm. And so we have it's a scale of 1 to 10. Mm-hmm. 10 means I could do no extra reps. I was like at my absolute limit. 9, I could do 1 extra rep. 8, 2, 7, 3, 6, 4. And 5 and below are nebulously easy because it can get like a little bit tough to judge our RPE beyond a point. Sense. The reason that that's important to know with our motor neuron inhibitory reflex is because there is a certain point. So like the point at which people will say their intensity is when they start to train is not what their actual intensity is. So it's very common for somebody to come into the gym, they haven't been training ever, like they haven't done proper weightlifting. You put a barbell on their back after you've done their screening and you know that they're doing it safely and you say, squat down, do 10 reps. They do their 10 reps, whatever weight it is, and they go, how heavy was that? Like, how hard did you feel? What was your RPE? And they'll say, that was a 9 or 10.
Yes.
And you go, cool. I know, particularly one of the things for me is I'll look at people's faces. And there's a certain face that everybody makes when they're hitting that actual, like that 8 to 10 RPE wise. There is a face, 100%. You guys have started showing it.
Oh, that's good.
You didn't before, but you have started showing it now.
Where you're like, that's the actual level.
That's the level.
Yeah.
And so this person will ascribe their 9 or 10 to what is legitimately about a 6. But it feels like a 9 or 10 because their mind is telling them, you cannot go more. I do not trust you to go harder. So I'm telling you, big bird. I'm telling you there's a big bird.
No,
it's I'm telling you that you are not safe to do any further. So this is our limit. And over time, as you push to that artificial limit that the mind creates, it goes, cool, we did this. We were safe. I'm going to give you a little bit of a longer leash. I'm going to let you go that little bit further.
How much of this is tricking our stupid brain to doing things?
Everything's tricking your stupid brain. Our stupid brain to doing things, not just yours specifically.
I actually noticed when we were training, I actually noticed that just recently now that because I think I was consciously doing the face, but like the face helps me process. I'm not actually at a 10. I'm doing the face because it helps my system or whatever. And I saw you seeing the face and you're like, that's enough, Adam. And a few times I was like, no. My body is now trying to trick you.
Your face.
Don't worry, I can keep going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so essentially, like, this is one of the first adaptations that our body's going to create when we start a proper weightlifting program, proper weight training. And it's really, really good because we can increase our strength so much really quickly without actually really increasing the strength of the muscle tissue. We can go up in the weight because our body's like, I'm going to let you go harder. I'm going to let you push that intensity more until we reach that actual 9 or 10.
Hmm.
But our muscles aren't actually stronger. They're just ability to work to maximal effort is increased.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
That's kind of what we're working on at the moment in your training, is getting you to that higher threshold of fatigue, getting you to that really high level of exertion. Beyond that point, that's when the real fun can happen. That's where the hypertrophy really begins, because we're putting that that adequate load onto the muscle.
Okay.
So
it's kind of this like thing where it's just like, you're actually stronger than you think you are.
100%. So everybody
even though,
is.
Like, okay, you've got the two, like, you know, yep. I reckon I could go with the 10 dumbbells because that seems about right. Oh boy, that was real hard. And oh, I'm exhausted. But you're like, don't be an idiot. Come on, you can go to like.
But it's not even that. It's like, I go to those 10 dumbbells and I go, that is my absolute max. Mm. Because right now, that is what your mind or your brain is allowing you to go to.
Okay.
But you come back the next week, you do the same thing again, but you go to your 12.5 this time. Mm-hmm. And without your muscles getting stronger, you're able to do them that little bit easier.
All right. So it's your brain just being like, oh, okay, it wasn't as bad as we thought. We can do a bit more.
Exactly. That's spot on.
And do a bit more and still have enough energy for that big bird we keep talking about.
I still don't trust you, Zaman. I think the big bird's coming. But I'll let you do this. And actually, this is what's really happening. I know he said one thing. But Zaman, me, your motor neuron inhibiting reflex or whatever, I am telling you, the reason why I'm letting you go further is because I've thought about it, and I think this will help us get away from the big bird.
Good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, science says one thing, but I'm actually, this is me. This is what's true. Is it good? Yeah. Is it good to watch us do this?
It's one of those things where I'm like, yes, this is the good comedy that the people are coming for. But then another part of me is like,
if anyone's coming for this comedy,
this is the adequate comedy that the people are coming for. But then another part of me is like, please, listeners, do not trust them.
This is it's
they're just not.
It's like this dual
comedy inhibitor reflux. We're like, oh, that was pretty funny, but no, it's your brain telling you that that's about as much as you can handle.
It's the environment that's making you feel it's
funny. This podcast is like the door guards, where we tell only lies and Zach tells only truth.
Oh god,
and
it's so
true. You
need
to work out which one. Oh, I just said. Or did I?
Be born clever, Adam.
Pick out who's the secret personal trainer in the group.
Yeah. I'm sure people can look at pictures of us and figure it out.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Getting back on track.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
What is hypertrophy? Hypertrophy is created when we create what is called micro tears in the muscle fibers.
Ah, yeah.
You're like, oh, no, tears in the muscle fibers.
No, I think I know this one. It's kind of like, so you get your hand, right? Mm-hmm. It's like all fingies are together. And so then, like, when you do little micro tears, like, spread out your fingies.
Yep.
And then your comes in and kind of, like, bridges those gaps. So now you have a bigger, meatier hand.
It heals them up. Exactly. Yeah. So.
A thing or two.
Hypertrophy is this balancing act between muscle damage, in a good way, we're not like injuring, but muscle damage and muscle recovery. Mm. So the damage is what we call the stimulus, which is applied to the body. Mm. And the recovery is where the adaptations occur. So the recovery is almost like the most important part.
I remember
the recovery is where we actually grow.
You were saying that there's like evidence to suggest that a longer recovery time in between like sets is actually more beneficial for muscle growth.
It can be more beneficial for muscle growth because you're able to. So like there's a study which came out a few years ago, or like a recent one where it was measuring like the different lengths of time between like the rest in your sets. Mm-hmm. And it was showing that up to like 8 or 10 minutes between sets allows you to overload the muscles. So push that little bit harder each set that you like each preceding
kinda
set.
Kind of like you're coming at it fresh almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when we have more overload, that's a higher level of stimulus. But the recovery that I'm specifically talking about is the one when we're out of the gym, the recovery that is caused by our good sleep and good diet. So that diet needs to be, like we're talking about, a caloric deficit for your average person. If we're a little bit, if we're like quite a significantly higher body fat percentage, we don't have to worry about it too much because your body will have energy stored in its fat cells, which you can rely on. But at some point, you will get to that area where we need to go into a surplus to make up for that calories. So then it uses those calories and uses the protein that we're also eating, haven't talked about protein much yet, but using protein that we find in our diet to convert into muscle. So that process is called muscle protein synthesis.
Mm-hmm. Fish high in protein?
Fish high in protein, indeed.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Essentially, like all of our meats, all of our meats are high in protein.
Okay.
Other sources are eggs, protein powder,
cheese.
Cheese is actually, yeah, but it's also high in fat as well.
We're not discussing that.
It doesn't matter else has it.
You said protein,
indeed,
and I'm happily giving you one.
If legumes, you need something high in protein, and you also need to what's it called?
Surplus.
Surplus. Cheese good for surplus and protein?
Cheese good for surplus and protein, indeed.
There we go. Oh, we're learning.
We've tricked him into letting us have cheese.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. That's it. That's all it took.
Yeah. Yeah.
I needed to be tricked into
we
it.
We used your own words against you.
Okay. Yeah, so going a little bit deeper, yep. How do we maximize or optimize our training to elicit those hypertrophic adaptations, to create the specific stimulus which is going to lead to the microfiber tears, which we recover from, to grow our muscles. And on a very basic level, what that is it's going to come down to our rep schemes. Mm-hmm. So a hypertrophic rep scheme is typically between 8 and 15 reps for whatever exercise that it is. It should include a training program for hypertrophy, should include a combination of some compound movements. So a compound movement, I remember I talked to you guys about it today. Can you guys remember?
A compound movement is one that uses multiple joints.
Yes, spot on. So it should have a combination of compounds, which program properly should begin at the start of your training. So you do your compounds first because they're more taxing. And then you should finish it off with your isolation movements. What are isolations?
Single joint.
Exactly. Some examples are compounds would be your bench press, squat, deadlifts, pull-ups. And isolations would be your flies for chest, side lateral raise for your shoulders, some other stuff like kneeling lat pull-ins for your back, leg extensions.
You're throwing around a lot of a lot of these names for movements are very hard to know.
That's all right. It's all right. They're just ideas for like people who may know them but may not understand that. Like,
I'm sure
combat
people
versus isolation,
Google them and stuff like that. Yeah. I have been finding though that as we've been doing more and more stuff, and as like this is not just what we've been doing recently, but also like back when we first began, like information is slowly starting to build up and I'm slowly starting to learn bench chest press or something like that. I'm like, all right, I can start to break that down into its words and understand. Like if I hear
a press movement.
Yeah, it's something like, yeah. Or if I hear like some of those words in something else, I'm like, all right, there's a relation here.
Yeah, yep. It's kind of like, you know, all the years and all the other people who've told us what to do is only now filtering in after almost half a decade.
Taking like, a while.
I get it now.
And it's
but
not all
that. It's 100% right. Like, this is the problem is like, we're constantly, there's so much noise. Yeah. Around health and fitness. Mm. It's just noise.
Yes.
And so you need to be able to filter it down. And I hope what this podcast is for you guys and for everybody at home is it's a way to like hone in on the frequency of the good noise.
Okay.
So essentially like contextualizing all of the jumbly mess which you hear throughout your life. And you're like, cool, this is how I'm going to, I can now understand it better so that I can like do my own training better. I can achieve my goals in a way that's going to be smart and effective without like, and being able to block out all of the nonsense that there is plenty of in the fitness industry.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So on top of that, a little bit deeper into training. So we need to balance our stimulus with our recovery. So it is very important that we do not put too much strain on the muscle and then not get a lot of sleep. Mm-hmm. We need to be sleeping. We need to be eating because without it, we're not going to be able to grow adequately. And then we have recovery issues. Then we go down rather than up. What's the opposite of progress? Degress?
Degress.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Degradation?
Yeah. Sure.
Degradation works. Okay.
And then we also need to be overloading. So one of the important principles of training is progressive overload. And it's similar to what we were talking about in our like weight loss, how we don't just start at our ending calories, start super low. We over time build our calorie, or like slowly pull our calories back week by week, week by week. Okay. So it's not all at once.
So for example, so you've got us training 3 times a week.
Yep.
So, and like, that's, I guess, not really overloading us too much. It's kind of getting us into the rhythm of things. And again,
yeah,
we're at a different kind of, I guess, phase of our fitness journey, as it were.
Yeah.
And at I the guess beginning. That kind of those other days of recovering. So, for example, if I'm like, oh, man, I missed, say, Monday's session. And then I'm like, okay, well, I know what I can do is, well, okay, well, I've got another training session on, say, Wednesday, and I'll just do Mondays on Wednesday. What happens? Is that bad? Is that good?
I've seen you guys do that a few times. Yes. I'll see like double sessions come through. I'm like, okay. It does. It's not the end of the world. Yeah. So the most optimal 3-day-a-week program will be a full body everyday program. So that's every single muscle group trained for those 3 days.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, that's not what I've given you guys.
Yeah,
because we're pretty limited in what you have in like the home gym that you're using. Mm-hmm. And so I've given you, I believe it's an, is it an upper lower full body?
It's push pull legs.
Yeah. Oh, push pull legs. Cool.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I programmed it.
That's all right. We've been doing them. It's been pretty, yeah. But like there's some days I'm like, oh, just either work got a bit too busy or I just kind of, you know, just couldn't find the time. So I was like, ah, whatever. I'll do it either the next day and then I either have 2 days where I sort of like back to back or if I'm really pushing it and like I've really fucked up, then I'm like, well, this is legs and this is push. So I'll just do push and then I'll do legs.
Yeah. So like at the, that's kind of... Mm. Okay, to be honest. So we're it's not like
rather than if we miss a day to just miss it, it's preferable if we can make it up on another day. That's
with
better.
Your specific split.
Yes.
If it was full body 3 days a week and then you did 2 full body sessions back to back, then we would have a little bit of a recovery issue, potentially. Probably not just because of like the intensity that you're going to be training at and the amount that you're doing, but for most people, you might come into a recovery issue.
Okay.
Because you will not be training double the amount on that, like of a muscle on that day. You'll be training 2 different muscle groups or multiple different sets of muscle groups, but keeping them separate and not doubling up, it'll be relatively okay.
Okay.
It's best to spread it out because then we have like the body can focus on recovering one muscle group. Then it like you do your next session, then it can focus on recovering that muscle group and so on and so forth. Whereas now it's like, oh, cool. I got 2 to recover from back to back, like all at once. Mm. So it's like a little bit less optimal, but it's not the end of the world.
Okay. All right. So, but in an ideal world, we'll try and space them out.
And so that overload is less about, so there's like a few ways we can overload, but a very basic, simple way is just by increasing the weight that we lift over time. So like how when we're doing our deficit, we slowly decrease our calories over time. When we overload for our hypertrophy, we're increasing weight. So it's like 1 week I'm using the 10 kilo dumbbells. In 2 weeks time, I'm using the 12.5s. In 2 weeks time, I'm using the 15s. So we're continuing to put a greater and greater stimulus on the muscle as the muscle's ability to move and contract maximally increases.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yep. Otherwise, like you just do 10 kilos, your muscles adapt. So 10 kilos becomes easy. You continue to do it. And then it's like, oh, cool. This is easy. I'm not going to need to adapt to it anymore. And then the last real like basic idea is volume. So the volume of training is about like, there's a few different ways you can calculate volume, but the most common one is how many sets of each muscle group are you training per week? And so a good rule of thumb for the average lifter is to sit somewhere between 10 and 20 sets per muscle group per week. And then however you split that across is another story as well. But we might leave it at that for volume.
All right.
For now.
Okay.
So we started with calories.
Yep.
Calorie deficit.
For our hypertrophy.
Yeah, for hypertrophy.
The calories that we want to be consuming, we should be in a caloric surplus so that the body has extra energy that it can use to be converted into our muscle tissue. Next, we should be doing, so next, like the idea of hypertrophy itself or that muscle growth is caused by stimulus, which creates microfiber tears in the muscle tissue, and the adaptations are created when we recover through eating a good diet and getting enough sleep and rest in between our sessions. We want to be continuing to overload the muscles through progressive overload so that we're not letting our muscles get very comfortable with the weight. We're going to continue to increase it so that it's continuing pushing that like higher and higher intensity or continuing the same intensity but with higher and higher weights.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then we need to be getting enough volume in to stimulate the right amount of hypertrophy or maximizing hypertrophy.
And which hypertrophy is?
Muscle growth.
Gotcha.
Which will be around that 10 to 20 sets per muscle group per week.
All right.
I guess that makes sense. And all this basically will help us grow our... And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Zach.
I hope you all out there are bumpy and
the only question is how many times am I going to be bleeping these?
I reckon you'll give up.
You think?
After the third.
Nah. Nah, I don't think I will.
Aw, let the people hear.
I don't think I will.
Let the people hear.
The question is, do I bleep it from when I said I'd start bleeping it, or do I bleep it from
let
when I
said? Let the people
you
hear.
You have to leave one in. They have to know the pain that we go through.
They don't.
Thanks for listening to Super Gym Friends. Once again, we are not medical doctors, physiotherapists, or dietitians. We are, at best, bumbling fuckwits. So please check with a healthcare professional before making any changes. If you want to get in touch, send us an email at supergymfriends@gmail.com. And to continue the conversation, head on over to our SansPans Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.